you for this word that Andrew has read to us this morning. We ask that we would more than just read it, but it would become written on our very hearts as we listen to you. So come, Holy Spirit, and speak to us this morning. We are listening for your voice. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen. Well, who here loves the sun? Loves to get out in the sun and get a wee bit of colour and all that sort of stuff, yeah? A few of us. And Mr. Flanagan here has got a lot of sun in the car park yesterday. Look at that, he's blazing. He's absolutely blazing. He's definitely blazing now. There was a lot of people yesterday in the field. Wonderful, it was absolutely incredible how many people came out yesterday. And I think we must have had 1,000 people there. It was just great. I noticed Raymond's here, Hubert up the road. He was brown or red or whatever colour he was. And lots of people got the sun. Well, as you know, I'm not the best in the sun. And I come back and people ask me, have I been away? But I'll never forget, many years ago, I went to the Dominican Republic. Okay, it was a wonderful wee trip. I got this usual stuff I use. I always get P20. Does anybody wear that P20? You just put it on in the morning and you can swim and all the rest of it. It doesn't wash off for the whole day. It's wonderful stuff. A wee bit more expensive, but wonderful stuff. And I went into the chemist to get it. And the lady said, this is far better and far cheaper. It was a product called Parasol. But you see, the thing with P20 is you have to put it on 30 minutes before you get into the sun. Because if you put it less than that, it actually works the opposite way. It becomes a lens, you know, and it burns you, okay? Because it's just pure oil. It burns you. So I didn't read this Parasol, and I put it on. I didn't realize you had to put it on 45 minutes before you went into the sun. So I put it on. I lay out in the sun, and there was a pool of this stuff on my chest, you know. And it created a perfect lens, and it burned a perfectly circular hole into my body. Okay, a purple sort of circle here, and I looked like the weediest Iron Man you've ever seen walking around. I was so bad it came off in one piece. That's disgusting, I know, but it really did. That's how bad it was. Well, I'm not good in the sun, but we hear a story here of Moses coming down the mountain, and his face was shining. And that's the first wee thing I want you to remember this morning. Moses' shining face. His face was blazing with sun. In fact, the word which is koron, which actually for shining or shone, means to shoot forth beams. So it wasn't just like a nice wee sort of sun kiss like Raymond there. It was blazing with light, shot forth beams. It was really, really, really bright. And think about it. What has Moses been doing? Well, we know from the previous from this chapter, chapter 34, he's been fasting for 40 days and 40 nights from food and from water. I don't recommend that for anybody here, actually, because it's totally miraculous that somebody could survive. Isn't that right, Ruth? You can nod for me. Totally miraculous that somebody could survive 40 days without water. So don't try that at home, please. Do fast. It is good to fast, but just please, 40 days without food and water would be an awful lot. And imagine what somebody would look like after fasting from food and water for 40 days and 40 nights. You know, I don't know why I was struck by this, but I'm sure many of us watched the interview with Philip Schofield. And you could see a man who had just been under so much pressure, hadn't slept, and he looked so gaunt. It was so sad to see a man in such a way. Imagine what you'd look like if you came down from a mountain without 40 days, for 40 days of no food and no water. I think you would look very gaunt. I think you'd have bags under your eyes. I think you would look very, very, very pale, don't you? But instead, Moses comes down with his face shooting forth beams, radiant, carrying the law of God. You know, plastic surgery can do an awful lot, can't it? But it can't make your face shine like this. It was a reflected glory. You know, the moon has a kind of light, doesn't it? The moonlight. And we like to dance in the moonlight and all that sort of stuff, don't we? But the moon actually doesn't have any light of itself at all. It's just reflected light from the sun. And Moses has a reflected glory. Why? Because we read here, Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone because he had been talking with God. He'd been looking upon God and his face was shining. You know, as this morning we celebrated 50 years of Gordon Whitehead's ordination in Dallingstown, and we were sort of marking that just a little bit in our service. And Gordon Whitehead, I think, was ordained in 73 in a place called Chelmsford on the 1st of July. And one of the things I was just remarking on is that Gordon has a real kind of brightness in his face. And I can't remember exactly what he says, but because he's been in Chile, he does a lot of Spanish and all this sort of stuff, and he says, "Sola Gloria, Gloria, Gloria," and he gets really excited in prayer. And it's almost like here's a man in his 80s, but his spirit is being renewed day after day, and there's a light amongst many people here as well. As we have walked with Jesus, his light shines. As we've looked upon him, his light shines from us. Christians are responsible for their face. I love this one. This is a quote from my favorite preacher, apart from Emma, okay, and some other people here, but C.H. Spurgeon, okay? And here's what Spurgeon says. "When you speak of heaven, let your face light up. Let it be irradiated by a heavenly gleam. Let your eyes shine with reflected glory. And when you speak of hell, your ordinary face will do. Your ordinary expression will do." So there you go. When you speak about heaven, you should be bright and shining. When you speak about hell, your ordinary old face will do. Okay? But what a thing. That's what we should be as Christians, shining people. It actually speaks in the Psalms about those shining ones. We should be shining. Because although our bodies are wasting away, Paul tells us, our spirits should be renewed every day, even though we're all getting a bit creaky, okay? I'm only 40, but I tried to play football with Andrew and others, and I can hardly walk today. My body is wasting away. But I hope my spirit is becoming more alive each and every day. I wonder, is that your story? And is that your desire to be shining into your latter years? The second thing I want to speak about is Moses' surprising face. Moses' surprising face. Because note there that it says, Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone because he had been talking with God. Moses didn't know. He was surprised, more surprised than anyone. I told a stupid joke in Dallingstown, and I'm going to tell it again because I read this a few days ago. Okay, it said this. It said there was a time when you couldn't talk about plastic surgery in the church. But now when you mention Botox, nobody raises an eyebrow. There you go. Okay. So a lot of people, there's no surprise in their face anymore. Okay, because it's all poisoned and all that sort of stuff. Okay. Looks good, but they can't move it. Moses is surprised. He didn't know his face was shining. He didn't know it. And he didn't go up that mountain so his face would shine. He went up that mountain to be with God, and his face happened to be shining. You know, I do laugh a bit, and, you know, at least they're reading their Bibles, so I suppose they should be happy, but I do laugh a bit when these people post their coffee beside their Bible, you know, and they take a photo of it and put it in social media. I always think that's very funny, you know. They took a wee bit of time out of the presence of God, you know, just to take that photo and make it really artistic, put a wee filter on it and all. I wonder if they have time to read the thing. Okay. But really, Moses didn't go up there to make his face shine. He went up there to be with God, and he was surprised that his face was shining. We should be people who every morning open up the wardrobe to Narnia, meet Aslan, and are radically changed as a result, and that our faces shine for the rest of the day because we have talked with God face to face. It was surprising. Moses went up there to focus on time with God. Not just help, Lord, but also more, Lord. And it surprised him that his face was radiant and there were beams shooting forth from it. But it wasn't just Moses who was surprised by his face. We also read that the people were surprised by his face. It says this, Aaron and all the people of Israel saw Moses, and behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come near him. They were surprised. You know, it's quite interesting. I mentioned already that word, Quran. And this Hebrew verb for shone was actually misunderstood for generations. The Latin Vulgate version of the Bible, which was the primary translation for an awfully long time, actually understood this as horns. So for centuries, really, people thought that Moses came down the mountain with horns. And that's why Michelangelo, some of his sculptures you'll see, you thought they were cat's ears or something up there, did you? Michelangelo actually sculpted Moses with horns because this is what they believed. Now, you can understand if Moses came down with horns, they'd be afraid, couldn't you? You'd be afraid yourself if you came back from your quiet time and you had some horns sticking out. But no, it's the shining face of Moses that scared them. The shining face, not the horns. He doesn't have horns. But the shining face, the word Quran can mean both, but it was the shining face of Moses. And I wonder why it scared them. Well, they weren't long after the issue with the golden calf. They weren't long after making peace with God or trying to make peace with God. And here Moses comes down the mountain. They must have thought, what's he going to do now? The last time he brought these tablets down, he smashed them and proclaimed judgment over us. Now he's coming down again with tablets of stone with the Ten Commandments. But this time his face is shining with the radiance of heaven. You can imagine why they were afraid. But we read that Moses called them back to him. And Aaron and all the leaders, I'm sure, reluctantly, nervously returned to him. And then Moses talked with them. And when he talked with them, he shared all that the Lord had spoken with him in Mount Sinai. He showed, these are the Ten Commandments. This is the law. This is what we need to do if we're going to approach God, these sacred laws. And he shared this with them. You know, I remember the band R.E.M., remember R.E.M.? They had a song called Shining Happy People Holding Hands. Who knows that song? Will we sing it? No. Okay, Shining Happy People Holding Hands. Well, this shining person who came down was holding stone tablets. And we know, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. We can't actually have shining faces unless we are people who want to obey the law of God. We can't have shining faces and stand over the Word of God. We have to obey the Word of God if we want to have shining faces. Do we read it and receive it and live it? Moses, shining face and a surprising face. And finally, I've got a prop here from Emma. I'm going to lend it to Louise in a few months. Moses then had a veiled face. What do you think? An improvement? I knew he would say that was an improvement. Okay, a veiled face. Because we read that Moses put on a veil. It says verse 33, when Moses had finished speaking with him, he put a veil over his face. He's not getting married. Why does he put a veil over his face? Why does he do this? Well, maybe like me, you've thought the wrong idea for a long time. I always thought Moses put the veil over his face because he was scaring the people. Who thought that? That Moses put the veil on his face because he was scaring people. That's what I always thought. Okay? He's got this big, bright, shining face that people say, here, cover that up, please. Cover that up. It's scaring the life out of us. That's not at all the reason why he put it on. Because when he was speaking to them, he actually did it with his shining face. He said, this is all the stuff that I learned about up the mountain. This is all the stuff the Lord said. And if we go into 2 Corinthians 3, and Paul's writing in 2 Corinthians 3 in the New Testament, and he's inspired by the Holy Spirit to know the reason why Moses covered his face. And here's what it is. Hopefully it's on the screen. 2 Corinthians 3, since we have such a hope, we are very bold, not like Moses. Okay, so a New Testament Christian is very bold, not like Moses. Why? because he would put a veil over his face so that the Israelites might not gaze at the outcome of what was being brought to an end. It's quite hard to understand, but here's what it's actually saying. The reason why Moses wore a veil was not to shield people from his brightness, but so that they wouldn't see it fading. You see, Moses had a diminishing glory. He went up the mountain, he was face to face with God, his face was shining with the radiance of God, but bit by bit it became lesser. A bit like your tan, okay? It's pretty good when you come home from Spain or when you come back from Flanders Park, Raymond. But day by day it gets faded. That's what happened to Moses too. His radiance was fading. And that was a diminishing glory. Would that cause the people to lose confidence in Moses? Imagine somebody saying, well, did you see Moses today? Yes. How does he look? Well, not as good as yesterday. Okay, where he was shining. He's not shining so much today. That'd be awful for the preacher, wouldn't it? If you looked up and went, he hasn't had much of a quiet time this morning. He's not exactly shining. It was a diminishing glory. But why is Paul giving us this insight? Well, here's the reason. Because Paul wants us to see that in the new covenant, because of Jesus, because Jesus has given us access to the heavenlies, that we should not have a diminishing glory. Contrary to that, the New Testament tells us that we should be being transformed from glory to glory. We should be becoming not more diminished in our brightness, but brighter the longer we walk with Jesus. If we move to the next slide, it says these amazing words. We all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Spirit, from the Lord who is the Spirit. Folks, here's the experience of the Christian life. The book of 2 Corinthians tells us that before we come to faith, we are like people who are veiled, who cannot see the glory of God. And we understand from 2 Corinthians that when we are saved, the veil is taken away. And we can finally see clearly. A modern worship leader from the States says this, the world comes alive. You have opened my eyes. Now everything I see is in color. The veil is removed and we can see. And then the job of the Christian life is to stare, to look upon the one who was crucified, the one who has risen for us. And we look upon the face of Jesus in our prayers, in our Bible study each and every day. And we look upon him and we are being transformed with our unveiled faces from one degree of glory to another. The longer we walk with him, the more like him we should become. Just as we come to finish, if we move to the next slide. I love this verse from Paul, again, from Ephesians 5, verse 14. You know, it's very important when we read the Bible, read the New Testament, we note the audience. Because when we don't note the audience, we get confused about the message. Ephesians is not an evangelistic tract for non-Christians. It's a letter to a church. And here's what Paul says to a church. Awake, O sleeper. Arise from the dead. And Christ will shine on you. The message is clear. Sometimes the church is asleep. Sometimes the church is as good as dead. And we need to get up and Jesus will shine on us. We need to stand up and we need to look upon the one who we can now see with an unveiled face and he will shine upon us. There's a lovely, possibly true story of Napoleon standing beside a great map of the world. And Napoleon runs his finger around a particular nation and he says these words. He says, "This is a sleeping giant. When she wakes, she will shake the world. Don't awake this sleeping dragon. Don't awake this sleeping lion. Don't awake it. Because when she awakes, she will shake the world. That's what Napoleon said. He was actually speaking about China, if you're interested. But I imagine that the enemy, the devil, with all his demonic hordes, circles the church. And he says, don't waken her up. Because when she awakes, Christ will shine on her. And she will shake the very world. Folks, can I encourage you? Can I encourage you, if you're not a person who's bowed the knee to Jesus yet, just open yourself up and pray that the Lord today would take the veil away so that you can see his glory. And if you feel that stirring in your heart, he's inviting you to take the veil away. And if you're a Christian, he's had the veil removed. Maybe you've turned your eyes away to other things. Maybe you have fallen asleep a little bit. Maybe you're as good as dead some days. Maybe this book is a book that is not often taken off the bookshelf. Or it looks good on the nightstand, but it's not opened very much. Can I encourage you, open it up. Look upon Aslan. Take time in silence to tune in to the presence of Jesus in your life. Look upon him, the one who was pierced. Look upon him, the one who has risen, and become a shining one, a radiant one. Not a person whose glory has diminished since you said yes to him, but one who is moving with an unveiled face from glory to glory to glory. Let's arise now. Let's stand. And just as maybe Jamie would leave that verse on the screen, we'll just close our eyes and we'll just pray. Just with our eyes closed, I just want to invite anyone who has not yet had the veil taken away to consider these things for just a moment. To consider allowing the light of heaven to penetrate your heart. The message of the gospel to come in a different way than it's ever come before. In a way where you say, dear Jesus, I want to know you. I want to be rid of my sin. I want to be bound for heaven and not hell. I want to see you face to face in all your glory. Please rescue me today. And for the rest of the church, for those who have had the veil taken away, let's hear these words from Paul. Awake from your sleep. Let's no longer be dozers. Let's no longer be unconscious. Let's no longer be sleepwalking. Lord God, lift us out of our graves, in a sense. And Christ, shine on us afresh. And Lord God, now as we approach your table, we come knowing our need of your grace, knowing that we are imperfect, knowing that we need the light of Christ to shine upon us in a life-changing way. And as we approach this table, Lord, we ask that you would give us a renewed vision of you, and that as we look to you, we would be transformed from one degree of glory to the other. In Jesus' name we pray.